So we're holding on page 144, or you may have it printed as 124, in Rosh Hashanah, middle of Os Yodaled. We learned yesterday about Dir Hashem being Motzei, that for a Yochid, there's only certain times of year when Hashem is more accessible, and we said specifically that the Aseret Yemei. So now the Gemara brings, in this connection, three lines from the bottom, here is an example of that. You have the story in Sefer Shmuel, where there's this rich fellow, Nabal, who's very stingy. One time, for a period of time, David and his men, while David, during the time when David is still on the run from Shaul, is in the area where Nabal's cattle and sheep and whatever are, he helps out the shepherds. They help protect them against robbers and wild animals and whatnot. And then comes the time Nabal's going to be making a big party. And so David sends 10 of his men to ask Nabal, can you please give us some of the food that you prepared for your party and give us that we should be able to join in the simcha as well? And Nabal answers in a very chutzpahdika and very stingy way that, no, why should I give anything that I own to somebody else, to some murdered malchus or whatever? And David is extremely angry and goes and threatens to wipe out Nabal and the whole family. And Abigail comes and talks David out of it, as in fact, David had already been anointed as king, but he wasn't actually accepted by the people yet. He wasn't actually functioning as king yet. Abigail mentions that to him. Yeah, we'll have that actually in the part of Megillah that we're going to learn. We'll talk about that. Anyway, so the Pasuk says, so eventually what happened anyway, so Abigail goes and brings David a huge gift of food and talks to him and appeases him and talks him out of going to destroy Nabal and his family. Then the Pasuk says, she comes back home, she finds Nabal is very drunk after from his party. The next morning, she tells him what happened. Now, there's two things that shocked Nabal. Number one, that how close he was to being killed if she hadn't gone and talked David out of it, but also that so much of his food went to somebody who he didn't want to give in the first place. So the Pasuk says that he basically had a stroke and couldn't speak. And then the Pasuk says, Vayikha Seder Sayomim, after about 10 days, Vayikav Hashem as Nabal, then Hashem struck Nabal and he died. So, Asoda Yomim, Maya Vintai, why did Hashem give him 10 extra days? Because of the 10 drinks that Nabal gave to David's servants. When David first sent his 10 men to Nabal, he sent them with a message. We have the Pasuk V'amartim Koy L'choy that we say in V'yitn L'cha. So, and then they continue with the request in David's name. So he sent 10 men and was saying that Nabal offered each of them a drink. Now, the Pasuk doesn't actually say anything about that. However, Marsha says that since the Pasuk says that they came and they gave this message to Nabal, and then it says, Vayonuchu, and they rested. So that means while they were resting there, Nabal offered them drinks. But then he wouldn't offer them anything else. So therefore, in the schus of that, is why he got 10 extra days. Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Avo, Keneged, or Elo, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Shemir Hashanah, Ad Yom Kippurim, it corresponds to where they are, the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. In fact, Rashi brings on the Pasuk over there, when David sends his messengers to Nabal, he tells them, Ki al Yoyim Toiv Bonu, we've come because of a Yoyim Toiv. Now, in the simple meaning of the Pasuk, it means that it's describing over there Nabal's shearing his sheep, and they would always make a big party to celebrate that, and you find in a number of places in Nach, in Tanakh. But in the simple sense, he's saying it's a good day. You're having a big party, so please give us something as well. But the Rashi explains over there, it means that they're saying it's before Rosh Hashanah, and please give us something so we can help celebrate the Yom Tov. So now we're saying the 10 days, then were the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. So there's an example where Yochid was given a break of 10 days because of that. Okay. Then another piece that talks about the judgment on Rosh Hashanah, Pisgah, the Mishnah says, after when it's listing the four Rosh Hashanim, Rosh Hashanah kol boi olam b'chola, and Rosh Hashanah, it says, everybody in the world passes before Hashem, kivnei morah. So, my kivnei morin, what does this expression mean? And of course, we have it in Rasana Toto, for choboy olam, yavrim ofanach, kivnei morin, it comes from our Mishnah, so what does it actually mean? Hocha Targimu, here, meaning in Babel, they translated the word morin is related to the word kivnei imauna, like little sheep. So Rashi describes, when you have the newborn sheep for the year, you have to give mice a behemoth from them. How do you do it? You put them in a pen, you have a narrow doorway over there, a narrow gate, and you have them come out one by one, and then you count them from Ma'aseh Behemoth. The same way, in other words, the metaphor is that everybody passes by individually in front of Hashem on Rosh Hashanah and gets judged individually. So Morin would be related to the word Imauna, which means sheep. Reb Shimon Lakish Amo Kamilas Beis Choron Umeirin. Reb Lakish says that means like when you're going up the ascent of Beis Choron, or the other gear says Meiron. So Meiron would be Meiron, where you have Rashbi's caver, and anybody who's been there knows that it's a very steep mountain and a very narrow path. Rashi has the Girsa Beis Choron, which is also, it's a pass not far from Yerushalayim. And back then, the main road between Yerushalayim and the coast ran along there. And it was also a very narrow pass with valleys, with deep valleys on both sides. And if you weren't careful where you stepped, then you could go over the edge. In fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin mentions it's so narrow that if two people tried to go by with their camels, they wouldn't be able to. One would end up tipping over the edge. So Gemara explains over there that if you have two people are coming from opposite directions, then they have to take turns which one is going to wait behind, which one is going to wait down at the bottom of the hill, and which one is going to cross over first. They tell them that in that connection, a famous story involving that took place in the early days of the State of Israel. Shortly after the state was founded, they found there was short amount of manpower for the army, so they came up with the whole idea of drafting women for the army. And as we know, it was a tremendously, an enormously controversial thing, and many Gdolei Yisrael at that time were saying it's a matter of Yehoreg Val Yaver, and there was going to be there was a whole debate about it. And so the story goes, Ben-Gurion realized, he doesn't want a civil war to break out over this, so he has to visit, he figures he'll go visit the Chazon Ish, who was still living at the time, and go and talk to him and see if he can talk him into agreeing to it. So they're sitting together, and the Chazon Ish tells Ben-Gurion, he says, David, you learned in Yeshiva back in the day, so you're familiar with the Shtickel Gemara, and he quotes in that piece about Beis Choron with the two camels, where the Gemara says over there, suppose you have then one camel is carrying a heavy load and the other one is not, then the one with the heavy load gets to go first, the other one has to wait behind until the one with the heavy load goes first. So the Chazon Ish says to Ben-Gurion, we've got the heavy load of thousands of years of Torah and Mitzvahs. Your whole philosophy and your whole state is only a few years old, so you got to give way to us. So in the end, they worked out the compromise that frum girls officially are exempted and non-frum not. The Rebbe was actually not very happy with that compromise, as you find in various letters of the Rebbe at the time, because the fact is, it's not like there's a difference in halacha between frum and not frum, and it's still going to have an effect on the men as well. But the Rebbe didn't make a public big thing about it at the time. This was in the early yuds. The Rebbe was not so well known in the wider world yet. The point is, Rashi says over here, that's what we're referring to, Milos Beis Choron, when it says, Kol Boi Olam, go in front of Hashem, Kibnei Morin, it means they go single file, like you have to go on that mountain pass. Omer of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kachayolus Shabbes Dobin. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, a third explanation of Kibnei Morin means like soldiers in David's army, where again, everyone, therefore, the word Morin is Maloshin Morus Va'adnus. These are soldiers who are under the rulership of their king, and again, they pass by in front of him single file when they're going out to war. So three different explanations of Kivnei Morin. Marsha points out that actually all three of them are correct. You have Tzedikim, Beinanim, and Rishoyim. So the Bnei Imana, the one who compares them to sheep, is talking about the Rishoyim. Their sheep are going to be shechted, and that's what's going to happen to the Rishoyim if they don't shape up. Kamilos Beis Choron refers to the Benin, and you have these deep valleys on both sides. If you take one wrong step, then, and that's like a Benin. He was exactly balanced over there in the middle. And then Kachayolos Shabbos David, we refer into the Tzaddikim, where David's soldiers, as the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, were in fact all Tzaddikim and Yuchasim. So each one of them is true as far as different classes of people, different types of people who go before Hashem for judgment. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Babachana, Amar Rav Yechanan, V'cholam niskorin b'stira achas. All of them are glanced at, Hashem looks at them all at once. So Rashi explains, even though everybody's going by single file, Hashem is also looking at everybody all at once. You shouldn't think that it has to be like a melech boss of a dom, or like a person counting his sheep or whatever, where he can only focus on each one individually. No, Hashem focuses on everyone all at the same time. Marsha actually gives a different explanation. Marsha doesn't like that explanation of Rashi. And he says that what it means is that the other way around, when you have a lot of people together, it's impossible to really focus on everyone individually. But here, everybody passes, if you have everybody is going in a large group, you're not going to be able to see everyone all at once because you're not going to be able to notice everybody. Some people are going to get lost in the crowd. when you have the Rogan Kivnei Morin, you're able to see them all. You can stand on the side and see them all. So the same way, Hashem sees everybody, the Shkira Achas, they're all passing by single file, and Hashem is, so to speak, standing at the side over there and seeing them all at once. As opposed to, for example, in other words, Marshall is saying, if you just had, if it weren't Kivnei Morin, if we were to say that everybody's just in a big group, when you're looking at a big group, you're not going to notice every single person. Some people are going to get lost in the crowd.
The safety in numbers.
The safety in numbers, right. But you were saying that, yeah. So Omer of Nachman Yitzchok, Afan Nanami Tanenon. In fact, we see in the Mishnah that it says that, because when the Mishnah brings this point that everybody goes before Hashem Kivnei Morin, the Mishnah brings the Loshen HaPasuk, Hayotze Yachad Libom, Hashem, who creates all their hearts together, Hamedin HaKol Ma'aseim, and Hashem understands all of their deeds. Now, we have to ask, my karma, what does that word, hayotzu yachad libam, mean? Ilema dehochi karma, are you going to say that it means, dabrinu l'kola alma l'libayu, miyachad piyadadi, dibarinu l'kola alma l'libayu, the one who created all of Hashem's hearts, miyachad piyadadi, Hashem makes their hearts all to be in unison. We see it's not like that. We see that even on Rosh Hashanah, everybody has different thoughts and different ways of relating to Hashem and so forth. So it can't mean Hayotzer Yachad Libam. Ella Hachikama Hayotzer, the one who created Roya Yachad Libam. He sees all of their hearts together. Vohu, and the same Hashem who created their hearts and created every person with their own das. Ein Deaseh and Shavus. Vohu Meivin Al Komaseim. In turn, Hashem also understands each person's thoughts individually. And or deeds individually, meaning, in other words, that again, according to Rashi, the vote is that even though everybody's passing by single file, nevertheless, Hashem also looks at all of them together. And according to Marashah, because everybody's passing single file, that metaphor is used to represent that Hashem is looking at everybody individually and not missing a single one. Okay. So as I said,